Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back. This is Who the Fuck Knows with Emily Rose. I'm Emily Rose, and it is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills season, and I'm back. I will be recapping later in this episode the premiere of season 13 of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. If you want to know kind of where we should start with this season, you should listen to my last episode with Cell of Who Asked Me podcast that just released earlier this week. Go check it out so that you can be totally prepared for that episode. Before we get into the recap, though, I did want to comment on a couple of other things going on television. First thing, Loki season 2, Gen V season 1, which is a spinoff of The Boys. We have The Kardashians season 4, season 3. I'm not going to go check it because none of you are watching it except for me. And Natalie Franklin of Nori's Black Book, who was on this podcast earlier this year, you should go check out her podcast with Kathleen called Say Bible Podcast. They're covering it. There's a lot of TV going on right now, you guys, and I don't plan on covering scripted television this year, but I could surprise you, so stay tuned. I want to talk a couple of Bravo things before we lead into Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Season 4 of Salt Lake City is immaculate. And if you've been following the show for a long time, you know that I have a lot of passion about Salt Lake City. The first season I really, really loved. Second season I was cool with. Last season I thought was trash. And now we're back for this season. So this season has been really great. There's a lot to talk about, a lot to digest. I just want to say off top, I hate all of them and love all of them at the same time. I think Monica is a great addition to the cast. I think her relationship with her mother is something that should be looked at closely. I think that we should just be sensitive about it. And in the last episode that aired 2 weeks ago, yes. But there's purpose behind that, and it is more of a reaction to a relationship with her mother that, personally, I completely, fully identify with. And while my mom would never go to the extremes that Linda does as to insert herself into conversations happening on camera and really try to take the spotlight and be the Captain Save-A-Ho that Linda seems to get off on being, I do understand complicated mother-daughter dynamics, and there is just a lot to unpack there. So while I don't plan on covering Salt Lake City because I'm having such a good time watching it, but I might. We'll see. We'll check in after this next episode airs. Now, why did we not have an episode this week? You might be asking. Winter House premiered this week. I'm not watching Winter House. Much like last season, I was not watching Summer House. I don't need to watch Summer House. I don't need to watch Winter House this season. Will I be watching the upcoming season of Summer House? Probably, because I'm interested. But Winter House, I watch Below Deck here and there. I'm well versed enough on it to maybe have opinions on certain things. I obviously watch this year's really powerful, impactful episodes where Aisha stepped into a sexual assault in progress and she stopped it. And the whole episode was really, honestly, probably some of the most important reality television you could ever watch. So I'm up on it. But I don't care about them coming to Winter House. I actually met Kyle Cook. I don't know that I've talked about this on the podcast. I met him in June, and I was kind of drunk on the Loverboy espresso martinis, which are deadly and dangerous, so be very careful. But I asked him a shit ton of questions, and honestly, nothing really came of it. I didn't get a lot of like solid answers or anything juicy out of it, even though I felt like I asked a shit ton of questions in a very short amount of time. He did like a Loverboy promotion event here in Atlanta, and I went and I didn't get much out of him. He loves to watch what crappens, so that's cool. Other than that, not much to report there. I just don't really care about him in the Winter House. I don't care about any of them, to be honest, except for Jordan from Summer House Martha's Vineyard. If you guys are not watching that, if you haven't watched the first season, do that. Really, really, really great investment of time is that season. So I'm excited about her, but I don't care about any of the rest of them. So I don't really care about Winter House. I'm not going to invest in it. I've heard that they kind of comment on Scandoval, so that's interesting. But other than that, I'm good. And then, other than that, guys, I'm really not watching anything. I'm trying to think, like, what am I watching? I'm watching a lot of YouTube. But other than that, I'm not really invested. So that being said, let's get into this week's premiere of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Season 13. Okay, so I kind of want to format this like the good, the bad, and the ugly. Rather than go point by point, I'll probably end up doing that anyway, because that's how my mind works. But I have to start with the god-awful. And that is these women's taglines. Guys, do better. Here's my thing. I'm trying to be really positive about this season. After speaking with Sel, after rewatching some things, you know, doing a couple of rereads of some chapters of House of Hilton, keeping up with the drama. If you didn't know, Mauricio Umansky was spotted holding hands with Emma Slater, who is his Dancing with the Stars partner. And so that happened, I think, Wednesday. Oh, and then after the episode, Kyle went on Watch What Happens Live with Teddy. And Andy asked her a lot of questions, except for, is she dating Morgan Wade? But he asked a lot of questions about Mo. It was uncomfortable for Kyle, but I felt like she was doing her best. Teddy is, it's like every time without fail that I give Teddy an inch, when I tell you she takes a mile. It was unnecessary for her to say that Sutton drives around with vodka in her purse or whatever she said. It was rude. I appreciated Sutton having a little bit of hot goss, okay, during the episode, because there was a lot of it was fucking boring. And I'm not a Dorit and PK fan of them as a couple. There have been rumors for years. As you all know, my theory has stood that if, in fact, Dorit was legitimately robbed, like unexpectedly robbed, I believe the reason PK didn't rush home was because I think he has a woman in London. That is my theory. Is there any evidence to prove that? No. But it was just like the way that she was acting, aside from being traumatized, there was something unsaid, and it read to me like she felt like there was something deeper to the reasoning for him not being there. Some people have taken that to mean that he knew it was going to happen. My entire theory is that I believe that they planned on doing something to this extent, but the dates got mixed up and it was done when Dorit was alone with the kids and it wasn't supposed to happen like that. And that PK, not realizing it was going to happen, didn't rush back because he had other business. That is all my opinion. That is a theory I have concocted. But I don't think that that man has been faithful to her in some time. And maybe she's not been faithful to him. I don't know. But I don't think that they're a real couple. Whew, that rant was all just to say that I appreciated that Sutton had the nerve and wherewithal to say, hey, there was a rumor, because that's not the only rumor about PK. Just like there's been rumors for years about Mauricio, and we need some ladies on here that are willing to spill the tea, because that's what holds this franchise back. Okay, back to the taglines. But the rest of Watch What Happens Live was uneventful. It was interesting to watch. I don't think that Andy likes Teddy. I don't know why. I guess maybe because of the podcast. Because she didn't really leave on bad terms, per se. Maybe he's mad because she's the reason, the real reason in his mind that Vanderpump left the show. I don't know. Maybe he just doesn't like her, but he didn't seem to be very enthused by her presence. These taglines. Let's get into it. Kyle Richards. It's hard to outrun rumors, but luckily I'm in better shape than ever. Okay, I'll give Kyle this one. It's cheeky. I told my friends when they sent me the taglines in the group chat, I said, I think that hers is the best because I think that it is. I think hers and I think it was Sutton's is the best because they're kind of clever. They're cheeky. They're sassy. I like it. Let's keep going. Oh, Sutton's is next. Sutton says, who needs a knight in shining armor when you have your own horse? Okay, so I don't know. That's just funny to me because she has this horse and I'm not a horse person. So I'm not looking forward to horses being the main storyline for Sutton, but we'll see. But I thought that that was a decent tagline. Still, none of these are top tier, but they're decent. Now here we go. Erica Jane.
The best part about losing everything is getting it all back.
Which is an ironic thing for her to say because she lost all that weight from the hormones. And I don't know if she'll get it all back. If she doesn't want it, I hope not. If she wants it, I hope so. Whatever. It's a bad tagline, though. It sucks. All right, Garcelle. And y'all know I love Garcelle. But her tagline, I may act for a living, but I never fall for a bad performance. I would probably just switch the wording. I would probably say, I may perform for a living, but I will never fall for a bad act. That's what I would say. I would probably say that. I like the way that that sounds better. It flows better. Bravo. Hire me. Next, Dorit Kemsley.
Fishing is my language and I speak it fluently.
That's how Dorit talks. I was trying not to, like, just do exactly what the Watch What Happens guys do, or Watch What Crappens guys do, Ben and Ronnie. But then, like, it so took a hold of me. Oh my god. I'm also on a new medication, you guys, which ultimately should be very good. And hopefully I will be a lot happier when I do these. So anyway, fashion is my language and I speak it fluently. Yeah, I mean, I would say it's a little more clever, a little easier to say than Garcelle's, but I just don't think it hits that well. Crystal, we'll get to Crystal. They say wisdom comes with age, but I'm proving otherwise. All right, bitch. Listen, how old is Crystal? She's my age, right? How old is Crystal Kung Minkoff? Crystal Kung Minkoff. I think that she's 31 or 35. Oh, she's 40. Yeah, girl. I'm so sorry. The age digs are getting a little. And 40 is not old by any means. I fully believe that I will not hit any kind of peak in my life until I'm 40. But I don't know. You're not on a, you know, you're not with the old Roni cast here, okay? Everybody's pretty much give or take within 10-ish years of you, so come on. I don't know. I think she's going to be a flop this season. I'm just going to say it. Let's keep going. Anne Marie Wiley, the new cast member who Cell put me on to some problematic things about this woman. So let's see. She said, I may put you to sleep for a living, but I always keep one eye open. Like, I know that she's an anesthesiologist, I think is how you say it. Anesthesist, I'm not sure. But when you say I may put you to sleep for a living, what I think of immediately, because I don't know her, is that she's boring. That's like, because you're putting me to sleep from being so boring. That's what I feel when I read a line like that. And so I can't give that any credit. So that's it. Okay, so yeah, I would say Kyle's and Sutton's are probably the best. Everyone else has just kind of fell flat for me. That's how I feel. All right, let's get into the episode. All right. I hate this. I hate it. I don't want to go on another spiritual healing retreat because it's bullshit. Nothing happened. You don't actually heal on these retreats. There's the resources. And this especially, you can see they're not actually spending time and doing extensive team building or extensive trauma work or whatever you want to call it. It's just a setting for
nonsense, right? I will say, I think that Eagle Woman and her friend, and I'm so sorry, I forgot what her name is. I just think it's all a little bit kitschy, and I understand that her native heritage, I think in any other place, she would work well. With this group of women, the juxtaposition with these women is ridiculous, and they look ridiculous. Not Eagle Woman, but the women, our women. They act crazy. I didn't think that it was cool that PK had a lot of say about Eagle Woman's name. I mean, obviously to us, that's not how we name people, I guess, though we have like Blanket and Apple, and Apple's actually a pretty common name. Kids' names nowadays are all over the place. I work with children, so I should know. So I think that because it's a reflective of her Indigenous family and culture, that it's cool. I thought it was weird that Garcelle kept her. I mean, it's just the whole thing was weird. The whole thing was weird. They were all weird. But I thought it was interesting. They did seem to have a little bit of a breakthrough at the end there. A little bit of honesty coming out of everyone. I thought it was okay, but I thought if this is how the whole episode's going to go, I can't do it. And so let's move on. And we did. So we have, I'm kind of out of order here, so I apologize. But, well, the first thing that sticks out to me is Garcelle and her sons, Jackson Jade. They go to Malibu and they have this kind of random conversation. This is what I'll say. The conversation in and of itself to me was actually pretty productive. I know that's not a popular opinion, and a lot of people were kind of sketched out by the conversation with, I believe it was Jax that was having the conversation with Garcelle about how he didn't need parenting the way that he needed it before. And people were like, oh, he's ungrateful. This is what I'll say about that. The fact that he can articulate himself that way, even if he's dead wrong, the fact that he can say that in the context of this conversation that Garcelle did bring up, like, here's my thing. All of these women signed up to be on camera. It is very difficult for me to feel super bad for them, even if it's an uncomfortable conversation. Like, this is not something I'm going to feel bad for Garcelle about, because you wanted to have this information from your sons. And frankly, him being able to articulate those feelings and really be able to feel safe enough to tell you that without being reprimanded or without facing backlash, it really seemed like he thought that it would lead to a productive conversation to me. Now, he could have just been playing the game. He could have just been playing the game and I got played. But I think it kind of is indicative of her raising the children quite well. It's okay for him to speak his mind. That's what she's asking for. She's putting her kids on reality television, putting a camera in their face and asking them a question. You got to be prepared for the honest answer. So I thought that it went well. And of course, Garcelle handled it well, because I think she's genuinely a good parent. Unless, you know, I mean, I don't know what agreements they have. I don't know. I think that they're good kids. They seem like they have their wits about them and they can stand up for themselves and feel safe doing it. And a lot of kids don't feel that way because a lot of parents don't empower them to feel that way. So I say good job, Garcelle. Good job, Jax and Jade. Shout out to the twins' girlfriend, that Ashlyn, that he loves so much. Like, you got some serious camera time. Good for you, girl. All right. Then we go to Jennifer Tilly with Sutton at the Sutton store, which I've never been, but I Google Maps it a lot just because sometimes I get confused because I've never been to West Hollywood. So sometimes when I'm trying to like envision, like, where is Tom Tom in relation to Sir, in relation to where Pump was, in relation to where Something About Her is allegedly maybe ever going to open, and what are these, like, where was Ledoux? I need a visual. So sometimes I have to Google Maps Hollywood. And Sutton's where I start, because I'm always envisioning, what am I going to do when I get out there? Am I going to start? I'm going to have to walk by Sutton's, but do people see it? And then there was one scene in season 10 that I was rewatching where she kind of had Lisa Rinna model out on the road. And I was like, is Lisa Rinna like walking in front of Sir right now? This is a ridiculous tangent. No one cares. Anyway, we're at the Sutton store and Sutton's talking about her new horse. And then her friend Jennifer Tilly comes over, and I love Jennifer Tilly. And I think it's funny because we have this term called friend of, right? Where it is a person that's kind of auditioning to be part of the cast. But Jennifer Tilly is a legitimate friend of. I don't feel like she's trying to be on the show, but the whole time I was like, man, I wish Jennifer Tilly would be on this show. So I think that was the original intention of the friend of, is really truly someone that is a supporting friend to the main cast member and then sometimes does well enough to be asked on the show herself. So I enjoyed that conversation, loved hearing from her personal assistant, operations manager, household captain, finance, orchestrator, whatever. Avi, you are great and very funny. I loved the little fourth wall breaking where he was correcting her and she's like, well, you're not on camera. I love this side of Sutton. It was interesting to hear her talk about her husband. It was baller to hear her talk about her divorce settlement. See, this is what Ashley Darby from Potomac just can't get. You look like a badass when you divorce the man and you come out with the money. You look like a loser when you soft separate from this loser, nasty ass man and continue having children with him and continue living in his space. And ew, Ashley Darby could really learn a lesson or two from Sutton's track. I don't like Ashley Darby, and I don't feel bad about saying it. She's gross. Okay, so we get to hear a little bit about Sutton kind of. I thought this was odd where she's like, I'm kind of trying to show my husband up. I don't relate to that feeling, except because I've never gotten anything out of a breakup, much less hundreds of thousands of dollars in investments and cars and properties. So to me, that's enough for me. If one of my exes was paying me currently, I would be totally fine with everything else. But I thought it was interesting that she kind of has him in the back of her mind. And I want to know more about him, but perhaps we'll learn that as the season goes on. So this is where I am kind of losing touch with the episode a little bit. So I think that this is when we move to Dorit and Kyle, I think. And Dorit's doing this very strange. There's this TikTok that's viral, right? And I watch it all the time. And it's these, I think that they are frat brothers, or they're at least like college roommates. I don't think that they're actual brothers. And they made like a oven frozen pizza. The one roommate told the other one, okay, just wrap it up and put it in the fridge for later. And the roommate, he put the pizza bare ass. Like, he did not actually cover the pizza on the shelf, which makes my skin crawl a little bit. Like, obviously your shelf should be clean enough that you can do that, but you shouldn't, you know, that's not what we do. And then the other roommate who told him to wrap it up comes home and is screaming at him, guys. It's so funny. It's so funny. Not as funny as me thinking that talking about TikTok is interesting. That's hilarious, Emily. But anyway, this is that TikTok is what I thought about when I saw Dorit getting the pizza out of the oven, asking if she's going to eat pizza. And PK's like, by the looks of her, no, which sure, fair. And then Kyle comes over and they talk about the struggles in their marriages, kind of, and the things that they I don't know. I kind of zoned out. I'm going to be totally honest with you. They just kind of talk about their marriages, and Dorit alludes to maybe having some issues in the marriage, but doesn't fully go there about it. So I'm kind of like, okay. So are we supposed to believe these rumors right now or not? I don't know. Then, oh, yes. How could I forget? I swapped these scenes in my head. So Erica has her first face-to-face interview or session with her therapist. And she is struggling with empathy. And I just think it's so funny how people throw around in the Bravo community, in the audience, in the viewership, they throw around narcissist and sociopath, but we literally have a woman sitting here after her therapist says, well, the way for you to be a better friend is to have some empathy for them. And Erica very literally goes,
but how do I get that empathy, you say? I'm not sure.
And the therapist is like, well, you can tell she's never had to explain empathy to anybody. You can tell I have had to explain it because I work with traumatized 7-year-olds and up to teenagers and all that. So I've had to explain empathy to people, but never to a grown-ass woman with plenty of resources and time. Plenty of time. She's like, yeah, so you just kind of like have to put yourself in someone else's shoes. And she goes,
Well, it's very honorable for you to say it.
What? And then they laugh. I'm like, girl, get out of there, Pam, or whatever the fuck her name is. Get out of there. This lady's gonna kill you. And she is thin. And I'm watching Fall of the House of Usher right now. It's very, she's giving Usher family. Like, get out of there. This lady's gonna kill you, bro. That was a lot to take in. All right, so I apologize for a little bit of disorganization here because I am disorganized and I am remembering things now because I just went back and kind of looked at the episode notes and I'm remembering some stuff that I want to comment on. So actually, the sequence of events, the thing at the retreat, that actually took up a significant amount of the episode. But I was so tuned out, partly because I'd already seen the first 7 minutes, which I knew I shouldn't have done, but I did. And partly because I was just not as invested as I guess I should be. But there's a couple of things I want to hit on because it's important for me to talk about this. Kyle keeps, first of all, on Watch What Happens Live, she says, well, she's asked what kind of standing she has with Kathy. Well, her and Kathy went out to a Morgan Wade concert the night before, something like that, and they're great, but this episode's going to air, and so we're just going to have to see. And I can't feel bad for you, Kyle, when you do shit like this. Because she says this, but when you look at the episode, she's in the episode talking about, Kathy had no right to say any of those things about me, and she was vicious, and she thinks she can get away with this behavior. Well, she can't. And growing up as the little sister, and blah, da, da. I'm like, yeah, that probably isn't going to help your fucking case, Kyle. Get a grip. Stop talking shit about your sisters on the fucking television show. And maybe you won't go through this miserable cycle of we're good, we're not good. We're good, we're not good. Like, Kyle, please. I'm sorry. I had to rant about that. Also, she was asking something about, well, why didn't she was upset specifically at the retreat with Dorit and Sutton because they didn't come to Kyle's defense. And I'm like, well, thankfully, I just watched the last part of that reunion where Kathy was accused of saying that Dorit and Sutton were stupid, boring peons that should be fired. So maybe, Kyle, because you were cozying up to your sister the whole time, kissing her ass, maybe Dorit and Sutton didn't like that. And maybe they weren't rushing to your defense because you were defending her. Like, Kyle, I hope that this continued path of healthier lifestyles, living your truth, being away from this man that brings you down, I hope that it gives you clarity because you are in a fog right now, honey. You are completely fogged the fuck up. you have got it twisted. Like, you're sitting here, so they're excuse me, after Erica has her meeting with the therapist, that's when that's when the pizza situation happens and Dorit has Kyle over and they're lamenting about everything that happened last year and how she feels about Dorit and how she feels about Sutton. And it's just in that moment that I'm like, okay, but you're tearing Kathy down again on camera. Again. You keep doing it. And then you're wondering why you guys have so many problems in the off season. Like, you're not wondering. I don't feel bad for you. And I want to, because your husband, a couple scenes from now, acts like a complete jackass, okay? All right. So then we get the scene with Garcelle and the boys in Malibu. I don't know why I thought it was further up. It's probably because I found it one of the more interesting things. So it was at the top of my brain, and I apologize. So we end on this scene, and again, Sel talked about it a lot in my last episode where we talked about getting ready for Beverly Hills. She kept saying, Kyle feels lighter. And I didn't feel like lighter was the right word. That's not how I'm receiving it necessarily. I was like, there's a different word. And you know what the word is. She seems like Kim Richards. She literally, her energy is very like, blah, 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 like. It's a little more childlike than she normally is, and she already is kind of childish. She's, you know, the youngest. She is physically lighter, right? She's thinner, which, ooh, girl, I'm so sorry. She looks more like Kim, right, in her physique. And it's just the way that Kim is always very headstrong, stubborn. I'm doing what I want to do. No one tells me. Whereas Kyle's usually kind of groveling more, and Kyle's kind of standing up for herself a little bit. Mauricio, I don't, Love Bean just started, right? We're all on the same page about that. Like, Love Bean wasn't a thing, right? Love Bean wasn't a thing. I don't know when he started calling her that, but to call her Love Bean four times in basically the same sentence was atrocious to me. I'm like, what the fuck? His facial expressions freak me out. He looks completely, completely blown away and a little fucking aggravated. If I was a body language observe or one of those people that are on that panel for people on YouTube, I would say he looks a little aggravated or like disgusted and surprised at what Kyle's saying about her tattoos. She was very displeased with him being on the phone with Jane, the assistant. Talking about Coachella, I would also be like, all right, to me, I felt like Kyle and Mauricio had to have a scene together. Kyle was not in the mood to do a scene with Mauricio because he's getting on her ever-loving last nerve. Or maybe there's something deeper we just don't know about yet. But for sure, he's on her last nerve. So she's trying to get him to come, and he's getting this scene talking to his assistant about Coachella. I would be annoyed as well. I'm not pleased with Kyle right now, but I agree with her. So then they go in to film the scene, and he's kind of being fake. I don't know what else to say. All of a sudden it's, hi honey, how's your day? And she's like, well, actually, I'm not in a fucking good mood. You know, she's being open and honest. And then I forget what they were talking about, but I noticed she was pulling on the edge of her legging. And he was mid-sentence rambling on about something, and then he's like, how many of those are you going to have? And here's the thing. I'm not going to go as far as to say that he was trying to control her, right? Because if he was controlling how many tattoos she had, that he's unsuccessful at controlling. And so I wouldn't say that it's controlling behavior, but it's very fatherly behavior. It's condescending, kind of. And I think that maybe is a role that Kyle was comfortable with in their relationship before, but she's no longer comfortable with it, right? She's getting these tattoos. It is, I know that this is controversial. I'm like on one today. It is a little bit teenager rebellion style, which I think is fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I know people were like, why would he call her rebellious? That's not the right word. It is a little, I mean, it's a little, I'm going to do what the fuck I want. And you can't tell me what to do. And he can't. And she's right. And she's got a little bit of Kim energy. I don't know about
I think she keeps saying that it's something to do with her sister that has broken her a little bit, or that has driven her to make these changes in her life, which I think are pretty positive from what I can tell. But I think the marriage has a lot to do with it. And I think that if Kyle had a little bit more control maybe over the storyline, if she maybe had it in with the producers the way that she has in past seasons, I don't think that she would want us to know that this is the end of her and Mauricio. Because they're still being very fake. But you're seeing the reality come out when she's saying, I'm going to get another one. And you should have been looking at my body more. That was real. And it was real uncomfortable. And his facial expression and disgust and reaction to it was nasty. I was not pleased. And then Kyle just kind of talks about how she's liberated. This is like, she's talking like she's already divorced this man, which I think is good. But I also think it's annoying that we had to put up with like a month and a half of people online saying that we shouldn't speculate about their marriage, led by her, when obviously something's awry. So I think that that's about it for this episode. Wow, look at me at 36 minutes and something. I enjoyed the episode after the second watch. The first watch was a little tough, but I'm telling you, I'm so done with the retreats and the sound baths and the psychics and all of that. I'm okay with the therapy as long as it, I mean, I'm watching a 50-something-year-old woman learn what empathy is in the middle of indictments that she says are dropped, but I don't think they totally are, and like all of this legal problems. That's interesting. Also, Austin Kroll on Southern Charm last week had a really moving, meaningful scene with his therapist, in my opinion. So it can be done. Therapists also can get a little bit much, but I'm done with the fucking sound baths and the healing and the healing retreats and all of that. I'm so tired of it. So boring, because it is literally forced. Garcelle said it at the beginning of the episode. I thought we were going to go to a lounge and get some drinks. I think that that is fine, because that's what you do. You're not going on these retreats. You know, I want to have, you know, maybe Sutton has a horse show and you girls all dress up like you're going to the Kentucky Derby or something. And then you have dinner there and crazy hats. Very Salt Lake City. We need a little bit more of that energy. It is a little heavier than usual. I'm okay with heavy as long as it is, as Kyle Richards would say, open and honest. As long as we are being totally honest, I think that that means more fourth wall breaking needs to happen. I think it means Kyle needs to be a little more articulate about what's going on in her life. I think that everything needs to start kind of coming to the forefront. Erica was the most honest she's ever been in her life when she said she didn't know how to start, when she asked, how do I show empathy? That's the most honest thing that's ever come out of her mouth. So I appreciated that for her. And then we got next week. It looks like next week we're going to delve a little bit more into Garcelle and her sons. And it is sad that Jax wants to live with his father. I don't think that it's an indicative of bad parenting on Garcelle's part. I think it just happens. And so I hope that she's able to go through that. We see Sutton trying to date. I also hate this. I hate matchmakers on these shows, but it might be funny with Sutton. It was very, very boring with Garcelle. I'm sorry. I know that's rude, but that's how I felt. With Sutton, though, she's just so damn odd that I would be interested to see what kind of man she attracts. I know that's mean, but I'm just curious. We definitely see the dissolution of PK and Dorit's situation. That is clear as day. And it's weird. In the preview for next week, it looks like it's shot by like an iPhone, like back in COVID days when they were doing their confessionals at home. The scene with Dorit and PK literally just looks like they didn't have production. Oh, last thing. I forgot about this until I was on Reddit. And Reddit actually hasn't been pissing me off with this show yet, so good for them. But I remembered that they were short on production because they pulled, Evolution pulled some of their Beverly Hills production team to do the emergency Scandoval. So just knowing that that's going on during this time
and reflecting on it, I just think it's fascinating that these women had to suffer because of Lisa Vanderpump, essentially. Good for Lisa Vanderpump. All right, guys. Well, thank you for tuning in. I will talk to you next week. If you don't already, please follow me at WhoTFKnowsEmilyRose. That's at WhoTFKnowsEmilyRose on Instagram. You can follow my personal account, EmilyGogo. You can also follow me on Twitter at WTFKEmilyRose on Twitter. I have a Buzzsprout subscription, page that you guys can subscribe to directly from this episode. There is a link at the bottom. Look, just breaking it down. Hosting this podcast, the program that I use costs money. The program that I use to edit costs money. And I'll just be honest, it's more than $50 a month. So anybody that can contribute in any way, I know I don't put out special content and I know I'm not consistent. So in some ways, you probably don't want to donate. But if you're like, you know what, how can I help her continue to create this podcast and not make it a huge anxiety thing? You know, that works. But also download these episodes, download, share, subscribe, follow. Those are the biggest things that you can really do is just continue to listen and put up with me. And I love you guys. And I will talk to you guys later. Bye-bye. Wind up your waist now, wind up your waist. Yeah. You know I love it when you wind up your waist. Tell me what you want.